Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Thank you. Well, praise God. It's great to be in the house worshiping God. How many of you brought Jesus with you? Yeah, you're born again. You brought him with you. It's real good to be here. And it's always an awesome time to gather together in his name. His promise is that if we just gather together in his name, that he would be in our midst. And that word midst means he'll be right in the middle of what we're doing. Right in the middle of what we're doing. Right in the middle of what we're doing. Yeah, we should acknowledge his presence. Really, we should acknowledge that he's in us. We should acknowledge his presence in that form as well, that God is with us. God is in us. And if we surrender to him, not just for our salvation, but if we surrender to him, he'll show up in ways that we've never seen him. He'll do things that we never thought could ever be done. Amen. It's real good. It's real good, isn't it? We've got some babies, some children to dedicate. I'd like for you guys to come up. And when I tell you, one is how old?
She's 3 months today.
3 months today. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up here. And there you go. And she is a month old. 4 weeks. Praise the Lord. What we're going to do first is we're going to allow the camera, come on up. Good to have you today. It really is. We're gonna give the camera people a moment to be able to show their faces so they can zoom in and you can see them. Aren't they beautiful? Just adorable. Absolutely adorable. You know, I usually parade them around, but I have too many to parade around today. You know, but I've already held a few of them. So I'm like, you know, the Lord is blessing this house, and we're being fruitful and multiplying. Amen? Amen. It's an awesome time. You know, so this is Harley Casper. There's two other names that I can't that I failed to get it, but and this is Willow Marie Insmer. Say that again.
Insminger.
Insminger. Okay, German.
Yes.
Great, and then we have Nico Loessa. Nico. I tell you what, I'm getting all messed up. Nico. I'm sorry, Nico. Good to see y'all. Good to see y'all. You know, dedicating children is found in the Bible. Hannah presented Samuel to the Lord, prayed for him, and then gave him to the Lord, dedicated him to the Lord. And that's what we're doing today. We're dedicating these children to the Lord. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple for dedication. And it says in Matthew chapter 19 that the people brought their children to Jesus so that he could put his hands on them and pray for them. All right, you know, it's all in the Bible to be able to do these things. And but his followers, after praying for him, his followers said, "Stop! You kids need to y'all need to scurry along, go somewhere else." You know, but Jesus didn't like that too much. Matter of fact, the Bible says he became indignant about their behavior. And he said, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to the people who are like these little children." So the kingdom of God belongs to the people who are like these little children. We need to capture that. And after that, Jesus put his hands on the children and prayed for them. Deuteronomy, this is great. Deuteronomy teaches this. Teach your children my ways. Teach your children my ways. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Very important. I'm giving you this day so that things will go well with you. children. So we need to teach our children the ways of God, the Word of God, and the ways of God, so that things will go well for us and things will go well for our children as well. The Bible says bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. In the training and the instruction of the Lord. So is it your intention to dedicate your child to the Lord today?
Yes.
Okay, then repeat after me or acknowledge this. Do you receive with a grateful heart, recognizing your child is God's gift to you and your family?
Yes.
Do you endeavor to raise these children in a God-honoring way?
Yes.
Do you recognize that they are more likely to follow God's path by the model that they see in you?
Yes.
Yes. Do you commit to seeing God's destiny fulfilled in your child?
Yes.
Do you commit to teach them God's word?
Yes.
Do you commit to pray for them every day?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you hereby desire to dedicate them to Jesus Christ? Okay. Are there any grandparents? Are grandparents? Oh, she's in nursery. Okay. What are you doing? Any more family that wants to come up? No? Charles, come on up here. One thing about Mary, you don't ever have to worry about what she's got on her mind. In a good way, really in a good way. All right, come on up. That is great. That is great. Does anybody else want to come up here? I mean, just... Yeah. Oh, you got to take pictures. Okay, she's going to take pictures for you. We're family here.
Come on,
we are family here. Amen. Amen. Grandparents. Proverbs 17:6 says, grandchildren are a crown to the aged. A good man, a good woman leaves an inheritance to their children's children. So y'all have an inheritance and a heritage to give as well. So with hearing the vows that they have made today, do you commit to producing a righteous heritage for these children? Yes, you do. Your example, your prayers, and words of encouragement, will you give them with gratefulness? Great. All right. Church, this is to you. We are a family here, and they're part of our family. And I'm grateful that they're part of our family, aren't you?
Yes.
Give God praise. As an extended family, when possible, do you commit to assisting these families in their responsibility with loving support, prayers, and words of encouragement?
Yes.
Amen. 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 Let's see. We have certificates, so you can see Harley and Willow. Harley.
Oh, thank you so much.
And Willow.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you.
And Nico. And we have baby blankets also.
Oh,
so I just need them. I need them up here. I know whose they are. I already know whose they are. One's green, one's red, and one's multicolored. This is great. This is awesome. I tell you what, just open them up real quick, Brenda. And
this is Willow.
This is.
I'm just going to tell
it. Okay, this is Willow's.
Oh my God! Oh, thank you. That is beautiful.
I was going to make her one too.
Okay. This one says, Nico, look at here.
Oops. They're so beautiful.
why do you guys give men? I need this. The pen is pinning both sides, so I need that. But okay, all right. I'm gonna cuddle up in one of these, I think. Oh, look!
I love it.
There you go.
Thank you. Hold up. It's your colors.
Yeah, that is just great. And as soon as we get this one, did you get that one out? Just take it off. We'll put it back on later. Let her do it. I'll mess around and stick myself. Well, while they're doing that, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for these children. And Lord, you're the creator. You had life planned for them before they were ever born. And Lord, we do everything we can to follow your ways and to teach them your ways so they can come to know you at a very early age. And Lord, that they will follow you with all of their heart and that they will be sold completely out for Jesus Christ. And they will make an impact on their generation and the generations forthcoming. And we ask you to do this with strength. And we ask you, Father, to bless them in their coming and in their going out. And Lord, cause your face to shine upon them and give them favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Okay. I think we're right. I think we got it. See? Oh, you can hold that. That's great. That's great. The quilts were made by Threads of Hope Ministry here in the house, and we just want to say thank you for that. You did a great job. Amen. Amen. Let's give God, stand up and give God praise for mothers. Amen. God bless you. You can go. That's good. Praise the Lord. Well, I love doing this. I really do. What we're going to be doing, instead of having just a baby dedication for a Sunday and other people come up, we're going to have two a year. One's today, and we'll pick a date in December that if you want to have your child or baby dedicated, we can do them all at once instead of having different Sundays doing that. So it's going to help us a lot to be able to do that, if I can keep the name straight. Amen. Amen. God is good. Yes, he is. I want to share just a few minutes with you concerning what Pastor Terry was alluding to just a moment ago, is being able to extend the kingdom by your service, by you being connected to what God is doing in this house and also what God is doing outside here. I want you to go to, I have several scriptures. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 16 and see, have you ever thought about these little ones? See, one is 1 month, one is 3 months, and the other one is what? Two? Three? How old? Okay. But have you ever wondered what goes on in children's lives? You ever just give it thought? I know you know it. But all the way from infancy, going through toddlers, going to the elementary part, going to the kids' church nursery, youth, it takes people to be able to influence these little ones and help shape their lives for God's work and God's purpose, because we all have a purpose. And we need to realize that unless we get involved, see, it's one thing to have a nursery, have a kids' church, and have youth, but it's another thing to have people who are willing to work in it, doing the work of the ministry. So we need that. We need that. And really, what Russell said last week was so good about the opportunity that has been given us to be able to serve the Lord in this capacity is awesome. It really is. But I want to read this verse. He says in Matthew 16:8, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, Hades, shall not overpower it." God is building a church. Jesus is building his church, not a denomination, not a earthly movement, not the government. It is Jesus who is building his church. Outside of that, you can do a lot of building. Jesus looked at it this way and said it this way. He said, you can build a lot of things, and you can build it big, and you can build it wide. But if it isn't built on a firm foundation, the very natural things that run its course through our lives will destroy everything that we've built if it's not built on a solid foundation. Amen? He said, when the winds and the storms and the floods and the rains, when it all comes, it all washes away. Everything is just plummeted because the foundation was not solid. It wasn't on the rock. It wasn't on who he is. See, he is the fundamental part of our living. He is the cornerstone of what we build from. And we need to make sure that we have that. And when we look, it says, okay, it's just the church. No, it's not just the church. We are the church that Jesus is building. If Jesus is not building the church, then we are in trouble. And any congregation that is not allowing Jesus to build the church is in trouble. Because the world has a lot to throw at us. The world has a lot of things to say, has a lot of things to do, has a lot of things to try to influence us. And what we need to realize as well is that the world is trying its best to indoctrinate culture with ungodly ways. But I say, not our children. Do you say that? Not our children. You know, it reminds me of the thing that in Braveheart, you know, when William Wallace comes out on his horse, they're about to go into a battle against people that are just so many that you can't count them. And he makes this statement that he rides his horse. He said, "They may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom." Well, I'm inspired by that. With the day that we're living, you know, no matter what they're trying, no matter what the world is trying to take, and they're trying to indoctrinate our kids in such a way that they can shape them on how they want them to think. But see, we are here to serve the Lord, and we are here to give the influence and give the word and to give the ways of God to those who are the most vulnerable, the little ones. Because they know, and they'll tell you that the most earliest development in children is from birth to seven. It's when they take in the most and how their little lives are going to be shaped and formed. Now, it doesn't say that God can't change and alter that, but I'm saying that is the time when we need to pour into them. You know, and then when they get up into youth, they have so many things that they're faced with, and so many temptations that they have, and so many influences trying to twist and turn and make them go a certain direction in order for you to be acceptable. But see, we need to teach and train our children all the way through youth. And see, when you begin to see it, I mean, I was just talking to, or my wife was just talking to someone just a few weeks ago, that the kids are raised in church and all, but somehow, some way, the message didn't get across deep enough. Well, as soon as they went to college, first year in college, everything went away. They altered everything that they had learned or supposedly had learned from godly teachers. There is a strong delusion. There is a strong influence out there. And a lot of it's in our universities. A lot of it's in our education system. Listen, and our government, do you know they don't even want you to say mothers? Our government is moving away from saying mothers. They're calling you birthing people. I'm telling you the truth. They don't want you to be known as a mother. They want you to be a birthing person. They're wiping away all, they're trying to move everything away so they can identify the gender, so they can identify whatever they want to say instead of what God says about it. They're trying to eliminate brothers and sisters as far as saying those words. And somebody was telling me that, you know, that they're even saying you can't even, you're not even going to name what sex the child is until 3 years. Until they make up their mind what they want to be. Now don't tell me that the world is not here, is not wanting to create another culture for us to live by. Because I know they are. But see, we have kingdom culture. Now the world will not like kingdom culture. The world will hate it. Still, and does hate it. Because, you know, the Bible, Jesus actually said this. He said, nations will hate you because of my name. He didn't say all but America. Nations, including this one, will hate you because of my name. Now, it doesn't mean the whole nation is going to, but they're going to be. So we are a people who are disliked, hated, and really want to be, they want to do away with the Christian influence and want to do away with all Christians. They don't come out and say that. And then, in one sense of the word, they do. They don't want us influencing anybody. Jesus said, I'm building a church here, and I'm building a church that the gates of hell will not be able to overpower it. So no matter what comes out of the darkness, no matter what comes out of the bondage, no matter what comes forth, Jesus said, the church that I build, it won't overpower it. That influence will not overpower my church. That word about overpowering means we sometimes think, well, it's the power of the enemy. The enemy has no power. He's been stripped of his power. All he's got is deception and lies to try to convince you and I otherwise of the things of God. They don't want us to know the things of God. They want us to know the truth and have revelation that comes to us from God himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't want us to have that. They don't want us to teach that. But we're going to teach it anyway. We're going to teach our little ones in nursery. We're going to teach our little ones in kids' church. We're going to teach our little ones and growing up ones in youth. So we have programs and teachings and videos and a lot of these things that are in place in every room that we have for the kids. We invest a lot in those ministries. Why? It's our future. It's our future. Here at Father's Vineyard, here in this county, it's our future that we're building. It's our investment. And giving to the little ones and helping the little ones to understand how to know God at a very early age. And even though when you think they don't understand, keep pouring it out. Keep pouring it out. See, this thing about overpowering it, he said, he will try to render the church, listen to this word, inactive. He said, but the one I build, nothing that the enemy has in hell will be able to render the church that I build as inactive. That's how he builds his church. We're an active people. We're a people who need to be involved in what's going on. You know, the thing is, you know, it's not about God being in our corner. It's about us being in God's corner. You know, sometimes we can miss the mark, and even in a good thing, but miss the mark. You know, because the tree that he said, do not eat from, was what? But tree of what? Good and evil. It wasn't just of evil. It was some good things that he said, don't eat of that. When he says, my church, this word, my, I just learned this past week. My church. It's sort of simple. I thought it was. But then I looked up what this word, my church, my. He said, my is a form of me. I'm building a people in the form of me. He's not just building a congregation that gets together and does this and does that. No, he's building a people in the form of him. We are called what? The body of Christ. We're called a family, the family of God. We're not separated. We're not just a bunch of people. No, we are one. He's made us one in him. And when we're being built, how we're being built by him, through teachers and through pastors and apostles and evangelists and pastors and prophets and all of those, he said, I'm equipping my church, the saints, to do the work of the ministry. That's God. Who is supposed to do the work of the ministry? Well, we hired a pastor. Let him do it. Nope. The work of the ministry, the work of service by the word of God is to be done by his people, the saints, done by his people. Now, it doesn't exclude the pastors. It doesn't exclude any of the other offices from doing it, but we have a job to do. It's equipping you and making things available for you to be able to do the work of the ministry, to do the work of service. That is God's way. We can try to do it a lot of different ways, but there's his way is the way. Yahweh is the right way. So he said that we are, you know, and church actually means ecclesia, the assembling of his people. The assembling of his people. See, we're assembled together. We are the church. This is ecclesia. As we assemble together, we're the church. It's not the building. It's not how high tech we really are. I thank God for the high tech stuff that Terry just told us about. We can do this and actually sign on without, you know, having to. We can do it at home. See, we can't look at the external things and let that be church. See, church is here. Church is you. Church is us. Assembling together. See, we assemble for worship. We assemble for prayer. We assemble for teaching, for instruction. We assemble for meals. Amen. We assemble for ice cream socials. We assemble to be encouraged. And the Bible says that we assemble for service. He said over in Ephesians chapter 2, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And God has prepared this beforehand that we should walk in them. There's a service that we need to render. Now, you know, they say that about 20%... 20% of church folk get involved. Now, let me ask you this. How would you be if only 20% of your body was working? We'd be in bad shape if only 20% of our body was working. See, this thing about the family of God, we all have a purpose. We all have a part. We all need to be involved. We all need to be engaged. We all need to be serving. How do I know that? Jesus looked at it in a way that really just turned the apple cart upside down. He said, you know, the Gentiles, you know, what they do is they have authority and they lord it over you. They're glad they're in charge. And they use that. He said, but it's not so with you. And he goes on and he says, the one that desires to be great, desires to be the greatest among you, what does he say? He is the one who serves all. You want to be great people for God? Serve. Serve your way to greatness. Yeah, but I'm a little bit above that. No, that wasn't the attitude of Jesus. Jesus, what did he do after the supper? Got up, girded himself with a towel, and began to wash the feet of all his disciples. Pour the water, wash their dirty feet, removed their sandals, got on his knees, poured the water, then dried them off. Peter wanted to sort of resist that a little bit. But he said, you know, if you don't let me do this, you'll have no part of me. What is he saying? He said, if you're not going to let this example be modeled for you, you will not be able to model it for others. See, our serving is one of the greatest things that we can do in serving, just in advancing the kingdom of God. The world will never stop trying to indoctrinate our children. They'll never stop. We should never stop teaching our children the ways of God and the Word of God. We should never stop. Matter of fact, we ought to increase it. We ought to increase it. So you begin to see, and then actually, Jesus actually, when he gets through washing the disciples' feet, he says, Do you know what I've done to you? And they don't realize it. They don't realize that he modeled the humility that we need in order to be able to bring ourselves to a point of just humbling ourselves to wash feet. Now, you're not saying that we don't have to wash the physical feet. We do sometimes. So this form of service is, yeah, I know where I'm at. I know the status of this and the status of that. I mean, we're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about the Lord of Lords. And bringing itself to this posture of washing dirty feet. So he gave us the model, and the Bible tells us, so this attitude that was in Christ Jesus, that he became a bondservant. The Bible says that Jesus became a bondservant. He said that was his attitude. He also said, I did not come to be served. I came to serve. What can I do? How can I help? I came to serve. What are your needs here? What can I do to assist you in where you're headed and what you want to achieve? That's the ways of God. That's how we get to where we need to go, and that's how our children can fight off the very influence of a culture that's wanting to conform them into ways that are not God. That's how they're able to fight back. That's how they're able to stand and resist professors that wants to tell them, you know, God doesn't exist. Well, they can have something to stand for. I remember Scott Somerville. Ed, Scott, your son talked to me one time right here. He was getting ready to go and serve God on the mission field, but he was going to school, and he came and he said, "Pastor, I got a problem." I said, "What's your problem?" And he said, I got a teacher that's really not teaching me what's in the Bible. You know, my flesh wants to just stand up and say, "Get up and get out." You know, but see, that's not the best way to do it. I said, "Go talk to your professor. Go talk to your teacher. Show him the Word of God." He said, "He don't want to know that, but he needs to know it. He needs to hear it. Show him in the Word of God what the Word of God says, and show him that this is the truth." He said, "He might kick me out of class." And I said, "Well, make sure you take your books with you." I said, "Then you'll be suffering for righteousness' sake. Give him an opportunity to see the light, to see the truth. Then let them respond." I said, "But listen, when somebody starts telling you this that's not right, you ignore that part. You ignore that part." You know, I've been around people that a lot of times in construction work, you know, in growing up, you know, you hear a lot of words. Everybody say, "Yeah, I know what you mean." You can hear a lot of words, you know. But see, now I'm a Christian. You know, but the thing is, I don't have to take them in. But I gotta be able to live. We gotta be able to live our life in such a way that they can see our good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. You know, you don't have to correct them. Every opportunity that you're given to serve, you need to make sure you remember this. This thing that I'm doing, whether it's nursery, kids' church, youth, any other ministry that we have, this thing that I'm doing to Christ. Don't say for. The Bible says that as you have done it unto these, you've done it unto me. Not for. See, we have a concept in religion that we have to work for him. But we need to work with him. And as we serve, it's an opportunity for us to serve Christ. Y'all got that? We should always think of it that way. The service that I'm rendering unto God. Yeah, we have directors and we have pastors and we have all these people that are over. Yep, got it. And God's in charge of all that too. But the final one that you're serving is him, is Christ. You're serving him. You're following his lead, following his example of being involved in people's lives at something that we can actually, you know, it's not about your position. It's not about your title. Jesus, he said, listen, the religious folk is the one that's worried about titles. They want to make sure that they get all the titles and get all the accolades of man. But see, he said, when you render it not unto man, but unto God. I have people say, "What, you know, what would you like for me to call you?" And I said, my mom called me Terry. No. I want to honor you. And I said, my mom called me Terry. You know, you can call me pastor. You can put pastor before me, for my name. You can put preacher. You can put reverend. You can put whatever you want. I'm not asking for any of it. Why is that? That's the way Jesus was. Jesus said, don't require people to call you this, call you that. Next thing you know, your head starts getting puffed up and just all that stuff, and somebody has to walk by and go, you know, Russell, you remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love him. He preached a message here one. It's been years and years and years ago. And listen, all his messages are great. They really are. You know, and people were lined up to, I mean, just great. It was just great. He had about 15, 20 people. It was just fine. I walked up to him and I said, leaned over and I said, you need to remember something. He said, what? I said, you ain't all that. No, what was my purpose? My purpose was, don't let this go to your head. Say thank you and still serve. Because we're not all that, right? We're not all that. You don't walk around and... I was corrected one time. I called a pastor by his name and been knowing him for years. I called him by his name and his wife told me, she said, it's doctor. Now, once again, my flesh wanted to show itself. I said, I'm so sorry. And then I called him doctor so-and-so. See, when you start to require it, you start getting in this vein that Jesus was talking about. No, you because I've earned it. Do you need to honor? Absolutely. And I don't have a problem with honoring. But I'm telling you one thing. You can say my name. Well, Pastor Terry. You can put pastor before my name and have such a rotten attitude when you say it that there's no honor in your heart. Jesus said it this way. He said, you know, you honor me with your lips. It's just a lip service. But your heart is far from me. We just threw that in. Had nothing to do with serving, but it does have to do with walking with Jesus. See, God wants his church to be fulfilled in the building that he's building. We need to be the people who are engaged. See, the Bible says that people shall know their God and do great exploits. One version says, and volunteers for service. Know your God and volunteer for service. Well, because we know who he is. And we know that the service we do is actually being done to him. I don't know of any better way to become great. Because as Reverend Terry Wilson said, Pastor, Reverend, said, greatness is inside you. The purpose of God is inside you, so greatness is inside you. And he wants that out. And we're going to be greater as we serve. Amen? So, we're going to close and we're going to... the scanning device is right over, or the thing that you scan, or whatever you call it. What do you call that? You what? I am what? No, you are. Somebody say it in English. URL? No, my wife. Of all the voices, I heard her. I recognize her voice. It's QR. I love being family. I really do. Thank you so much for being here today. And I hope you heard the heart of the Lord today to not be on the sideline. Get involved. We've got a lot of opportunities all over this place for everybody to be engaged and show forth the glory of the Lord in our service. And especially guarding our children, making sure we have a place to be able to influence our children in the kingdom of God and His ways. Amen. Let's stand. QR. Lord, we thank You. We love You. There's no one like You. That You would put Your presence inside who we are. And that You would call us into service. And that You would allow us to do Your kingdom work that would impact people for eternity. Help us to stand in the gap. Help us to take the place that You've given us to stand and given us to work in. And as we do it, we look to You and we say, Father, this is for You. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.